Welcome to the Mind Games podcast. Today we are joined by a mate of mine that I've connected with over the past few months. He's worked in all sorts of sports media, from Triple M to now being a co-owner of the Buy Round. This is a giggle. Charlie White, enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Buy Round podcast. I'm your host, James Graham, and I'm joined today by Charlie White. Charlie, how are you?
Great to see you as always, Jimmy. Great to be here. How are you, Mitch? You good?
I'm good, Charlie. Mate, we're here today filming the Mind Games podcast. We're in your studio. I'm feeling like Jammer. This is
you're in his seat as well.
I know. Pretty cool experience.
Much better looking than Jimmy though, mate.
I don't know about that.
Much more tan. It's better to go. It's better to get some more tan people in the studio instead of Jimmy always, you know, shining his bright skin in my face.
It is bright.
Yeah, it's very bright. I just saw he's just come back from Europe. He was in here before recording an ad. And he's got a more pale while being in England.
How's that possible?
I didn't think it was possible, but it's happened.
He's a great man, Jimmy. Anyway, the couple of times I've met him.
Yeah.
Mate, once again, thank you very much for this. We connected a little bit ago and I was actually a guest on yours and James' podcast, The Buy Round. And then we have stayed in touch a little bit and you've been great little soundboard and we've caught up for a couple of coffees, which has been great. And I really appreciate you jumping on.
Nah, mate, anytime. Honestly, happy to help. And you did a great job in the round table. We want to do more of those, like the fan round table, we're calling it. But you did a great job. The best, mate. You did the best job. Penrith Panthers. It's a shame. I was hoping they beat Brisbane in all honesty. I was hoping they went and won the comp. I thought it was a better story. Them going to win five in a row, but they fell short.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, that's right. Bounce back this year. Redemption.
Yeah. Redemption arc. Yeah. That's it. Who's coming in? No one's really coming in for you guys, is there?
Nah.
But no one's leaving.
Exactly. Yeah. And the boys are getting older. So you got your Casey McLean, your Blaze Lightning. Yeah. They're all getting a little bit older. So, and I think you saw them in the international games. They really went to a new level, which is cool.
Even Blaze Tlangi getting that like clutch sideline conversion.
Mate.
Like young
He's
guy.
Like our fourth string goal kicker.
I know. Like, so good.
Who do you support?
I'm a Roosters man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Eastern Suburbs royalty.
I guess so. But like, do you know what though? I'm actually a bit like, I'm starting to feel more and more out of love with the Roosters. Obviously really close to Brandon Smith.
Yep.
So
true.
Didn't love the way that whole thing broke down. But then also I hate how they'll go and buy someone like DCE. When you've got Hugo Savala, who's a great young player, coming through the ranks, like why do we need some old player like DCA who hasn't really shown that much in the last couple of years anyway? We signed him to a one-year deal and then there's an option for the second year. I'm like, just stick with something that you're building. And Sam Walker's going to be the star of that team moving forward. So why bring in someone like DCA? I don't really get it.
Does DCA play six?
I don't know. Can DCA play six? That's like, I'm interested to see how it works. But like, I'm not overly confident as a Roosters fan going next year.
What I'm also intrigued about with that is like, DC, I think he took less money to come to the Roosters than the Manly actually ended up offering him.
Yeah.
I know it was the way it all went about, but like.
I know. If I was a Manly fan, I'd be filthy.
Yeah.
But then like the CEO's obviously lost his job out of it all as well. So it's a mess. That was brilliant. As far as like sports media things go, that was the funniest thing ever. You had like one show DCE says leaving and then on the other show on 360 you had Tony Mestroff saying that we were going to offer DCE more years. I was an absolute mess. That was like one of my favourite moments of the year.
I bet he's good at creating a few shows around it, which is cool. Mate, anyway, who cares about that?
Yeah.
Let's talk about you. Mate, so Eastern Suburbs Royalty, tell me about Charlie White. Where are you from?
I was born in England.
Okay.
Born in England.
Whereabouts?
Born in Reading.
Yeah, okay.
So Reading FC is my football club.
Yeah.
Born in Reading. Then we moved here when I was five. My dad got a job over here. Moved and lived in Manly.
Yep.
So we lived in Manly for the first few years of when we moved over here. And then moved to Paddington like halfway through primary school. And then lived there pretty much for all of high school.
Tough gig over there.
Tough gig, man. Tough gig. Yeah. It's a mean streets of Paddington.
Yeah, I bet.
Sketchy. Real sketchy seeds growing up.
Happy day. Well, I've done about 10 years in Eastern Suburbs too. It's tough. It's a tough life.
Tough life, man. It really is tough. Yeah. Just battled away. Then went to a school called Rose Bay.
Yeah.
Which
another tough spot.
Tough spot, yeah, really tough spot. Public school in the eastern suburbs, you know, like, how do we survive? So went there. I actually dropped out of school, end of year 10.
Okay.
So I was a bit of a rat bag in high school, in all honesty.
Has much changed?
I've tried to sort of mature as I grow up. But like, I was mainly just concerned with like drinking and mates and all that sort of stuff when I was young. So I went to TAFE and did my HSC at TAFE. Lived in like eastern suburbs most of my life. But, you know,
Happy days. What drew you to, so from the, like you, the part I know about your sort of stories, started Triple M,
yeah,
sort of progressed through there and then have now obviously started this with Jimmy.
Yeah.
But so where, how did that sort of come about? Journalism?
So I was at uni. So back, to go back, so I finished, I did my HC at TAFE, got an ATAR, even though it's not like the same as normal school, but
yeah,
got an ATAR. And then I went traveling with my mates for like 6 months in Europe when we were 19. We finished school, like worked, saved money, and then went traveling.
Yeah.
And then while I was over there, my mom just kept calling me and like she really wanted me to go to uni and she just kept calling me and like sending me different courses and stuff. And then eventually she sent me one and I was like, oh, all right, whatever, I'll just do that one. So then you can stop calling me about it while I'm on holidays. Yeah, yeah. So then I signed up to do this like media course at UTS. And then while I was at uni, my sister was working at Triple M in like promotions, which is for people that aren't across like radio. Basically, it's like you take events and you organize them. Or if like, I don't know, if a radio show wants to do a stunt on air, the promotions team are the ones that like are in the background organizing it, you know, yeah, booking venues, all that sort of
just
stuff.
Just marketing,
basically. Yeah. And so there was a street team job going. So I joined the street team, which is basically like, you're just doing random different errands. Like you might go to Minor 10 and hand out cans of Coke. Okay. Like you might go to, you know, Rudy Hill RSL and there'll be an event there and you're just smiling in Triple M gear, you know, like helping out basically. Like that's like more promotional work. Like the Red Bull, cars driving around, like that sort of stuff. And then Tom Birmingham was working at Triple M as well. So I did street team for a while. And at the time I was like, oh, you know, it's just a job at uni. I still don't really have any clear idea of what I want to do. But like the one thing that has always been constant, I love sport, like love sport. I just would watch sport all day, like NBA, then rugby league, cricket.
NFL?
Like, I'm not an NFL guy.
Yeah, okay.
Nah, not an NFL guy, unfortunately.
Who do you support in the NBA?
NBA, I'm Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
And it's been brilliant. I started supporting them when they were the Thuggets.
Yeah.
Back in like, you know, Iverson, Melo, Kenyon Martin. We had the best team ever. Like, so it was amazing.
Best to follow and best to play with on 2K.
Best to play with on 2K. It was so good. And that's kind of how I felt. Like, yeah, yeah. It was like playing 2K for mates. I'm like, oh, this
I was
team's
a big
awesome.
Melo guy too when I was younger.
Mate, but, loved Melo. And now we've got Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. But what was I saying? I was talking about
just you love sport.
Love sport. Yeah. So yeah. So then, so I was working at Triple M and Tom Birmingham, he was working there as well from Hello Sport.
Yep.
So, but he went to Europe for a 6 week holiday and he was producing this like sports evening show that Dan Ganane hosted.
Okay.
It was on 6 PM to 7 PM. And they said, oh, who likes sport? And my sister, I think, was just around when the producers were talking about it. And she's like, oh yeah, Charlie loves sport. And then I ended up filling in for him for 6 weeks. And I'd never, mate, I got there day one, had never, no idea what producing was, like no idea about any of it all. I hadn't like thought, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. I know all about it. I've studied, I've learned about it. I've gone to uni. Like it just sort of fell into my lap. And then I did that for 6 weeks and it went fine. And then when Tom got back, I started working on Matty Johns' breakfast show.
Yeah.
Because one of their producers got punted. So then like their EP got punted and then everyone else got promoted. And then I came in as like the junior producer. And then mate, basically for 9 months, I just like sat, watched the show, got coffees, did like whatever, like the bitch work, like whatever you know you need
that's
to do, like
though.
Just printing. Like
we were talking about this earlier, like how does that work? You sitting there listening to Matty Johns talk shit all day.
Mate, it was actually like the best thing ever. It was the best thing ever. And like it was so like cool. And Matty is like the best talent like I've ever come across by far. Like
Gemma
super funny. Yeah, he would, but I would say
yeah,
to
yeah,
him,
yeah,
so
no,
I would say to, but he's like super funny.
Yeah.
Like because he can do it all. Like Jimmy's an incredible analytical mind. He's got a good sense of humor. And, you know, good emotion and all that stuff. But Matty could just, like, move through the different, like, styles so smoothly. Like, he would be funny. He would be engaged. He'd be a great interviewer. He could, you know, he knew something about everything. Like, the man is very knowledgeable, not just about rugby league, but about everything. And he was on that
loves
breakfast
Adidas
show.
Loves Adidas and Oasis, too.
Yeah, does he?
How many times he tell those stories? Have you
heard it? No, I haven't, no.
Oh, he tells the origins of Adidas and Puma pretty much like every second week
does
on his show. And he talks about Liam Gallagher all the time as well.
Yeah, well, he loved them because I think he actually got Jimmy to interview them when they were here. Or maybe just interview Noel, not both of them because they wouldn't have been together at the time. But he got Jimmy to interview Noel when Noel was here for something. But mate, it was a crazy, my first show, it was like a naked show. So they'd like done this whole thing where basically Gus Warland, who is kind of like ended up being like the punching bag of the show a little bit.
Yeah.
He, they'd done this whole stitch up basically that they were all going to do the show naked. And then they did the big reveal at like 6:03 a.m. and Gus was the only one naked in the studio. They were all clothed. And like, that was the first day. I was like, this is fucking cool. Like, let's go. So then, yeah, I did that for like 9 months. And then Tom Birmingham ended up going to work at Macquarie Sports full time. So then I just ended up, I want to do the sports stuff. As much as I loved working on the breakfast show,
yeah.
I couldn't care less about the music. Yeah, yeah. I like sport. So like, it was super interesting, all the NRL breaks and everything about sport. But then the rest of the stuff, I was like, oh, I don't really care much about characters. Not, I want to do work in sports media. So yeah.
Yeah. Quick question on that. Did you play much sport growing up?
I did. I played cricket and rugby league.
Who did you play cricket for?
I played cricket for Eastern Suburbs.
Cool.
East Thunder. But like, I was a mediocre player.
Yeah.
Like, would never have, like, basically, if I got like 30, I'd be happy. If I got 30, I'd be happy. Couple yep. wickets, you know. I excelled in the field. That was where I did my best work as a fielder. And then I kept for a couple years as well.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, I would never have got anywhere with it. And then rugby league, I played for the Paddo Tigers, who are gone now, I think. I Googled them the other day. They're gone. But I don't play halfback.
Nice.
Yeah. But I'm like, do you know what? I got sick of playing rugby league. I'm like 16. By the time I was like 16 was when I retired from rugby league because, mate, I was still like 50 kilos and I was just getting tackled by like Samoans.
Yeah, 110.
Yeah. And I was like, this is fucking pointless. Yeah. Why am I doing this? Yeah.
Nah, fair. All good. So, yeah, moved into the sports show.
Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Ended up doing that for a few years.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think I started that in like 20, I want to say 2016, 2017.
Yep.
Mate, funny story. I should actually tell you this story. I'll go back to it because when Tom Birmingham's show came up, when Tom Birmingham left full time, so when I was working on the Matty John's Breakfast Show, I was at a bar and I had these producers from Love Island come up to me and say, oh, hey, can you come have a meeting with us? We think you might be good for Love Island. I was like, oh, all right, whatever. I'd have been 20 at the time, 2015, 20 years old. And I was like, oh, yeah, right, maybe. So I went and had the meeting and I got offered to go on Love Island and I had a contract and everything. So I was and then at the same time, Tom Birmingham left the company. So I had, and I got offered his job and I was like, fuck, what am I going to do here? I was like, I didn't really want to do Love Island anyway, but my sisters and everyone was like, oh, you got to do this. It's been great. It's been great. And it was the first season of the Australian Love Island.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I got offered the job and I was like, nah, I'm picking the job. It would be the best decision I've ever made because I would have gone on Love Island as an intruder, been evicted out after like a week.
Just stirring shit up.
And just me. Because like, fuck, it was so bizarre. I don't even know why. I'd be like, skinny guy. And they were all like jacked juice heads. I'm like, what are you even seeing in me here, guys? What do you even want from me?
Probably just like cheeky and carrying on.
I must have just been really loose at the pub I was at.
Yeah,
okay. Just making too much noise. Thankfully, I didn't go on. So the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life was not going on Love Island.
Yeah, okay.
And then did all that, and then did that show for a few years. Then things just sort of naturally changed, don't they, progress? So like MG moved to Breakfast, and then that show changed up a little bit. I met Jimmy. Like Jimmy was coming on shows and stuff, and then Jimmy moved to England. But before he did, he's like, oh, mate, I'd love to get into media when I'm back. So we kind of kept in contact.
Awesome.
And then when he came back from England, there was like a couple of different movements on talent and stuff. So there was a good opportunity for him to come in. And he came in, he started off small, like he would come in and do like the last hour of the Sunday show. And then that big Paul Kent Anthony Maroon blow up happened, yep. which was good for Jimmy in the end because he ended up getting like more opportunities out of it with Triple M. So once that blow up happened, he joined the Sunday show full time and then things sort of grew from there. And then that's how our relationship sort of started.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Tell me, is it a bit like, not like overwhelming, but like probably cool is the word. Like, is it cool sitting around and going like, these are the guys, like I love sport, love rugby league.
Yeah.
These and cricket as well. Cause I think Mark Waugh and stuff come through, don't they?
They do. Yeah. Triple M, mate, I'm working with, Ian Botham.
Yeah.
So like as an Englishman, like, cause I, as a kid, I sat with the Barmy Army. My dad would take me to sit with the Barmy Army.
So do you support England or
I support England in the cricket. You? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know. I do. So this summer I'm working with Graham Swan.
How good is that?
Which is so cool, mate. He was like one of my heroes growing up, like loved him. And we got, that's pretty cool. Like my true hero of sport growing up was Kevin Peterson. I met him And I was like, yeah, mate, you do pinch yourself. It's weird. It becomes normal really quickly though as well. Like your mind just adapts to it.
Agree.
Really fast, which is.
I think like just when you, they, when they become humanized a little bit. So like from my point of view, like I've got quite a few friends and different things that are reasonably high profile, but like you sit down and have a beer with them, they're still just a normal bloke. Like everyone's you're all right, right? So like.
And mate, athletes are often, especially team sport athletes, are pretty much all great human beings because you don't survive in a group of 30 men or 20 men squad, like unless you're a good top human being, because fuckwits get identified really quickly and just 100%. Get kicked out the door. So if you're, that's where the conception that athletes are like bad human beings or, you know, arrogant, it's so false, like so false, because they're in environments where they've basically grown up on teamwork and, you know, being in a team and supporting each other. And like,
and high performance environments, like even, like we had James Maloney on last week and like he was even talking about a few different things, like his last year of State of Origin was 2019. He didn't play game one.
Yeah.
Came in for game two and he was explaining how like a really cool moment for him that he's always held on to is Brandy Alexander sort of spoke about how the whole environment changed when he went into camp and he heard him say it in media, and that's something that's always stuck with him. And, and just in terms of like, that high performance environment, these guys that have grown up in these environments that are going to the top, like you're, as you said, you there's a no dickhead policy essentially. Yeah. And that culture is the biggest piece of it.
100%.
The biggest piece of
it. 100%. And then like you even can see it really clearly working in radio, because we have like comedians roll through and like actors, rock stars. They are all flogs.
Yeah,
pretty much all flogs. Like,
who's the coolest you've met in that regard?
In terms of comedians and things like musicians,
rock stars, and actors.
That's a great question. We had Ryan Reynolds. We had Ryan Reynolds when he was doing Deadpool in studio for Grill Team, which was Matty John's breakfast show. So him and someone else was in that. Someone else, or did he do a movie with someone else? Was it Matt Day? Did Matt Damon and him do a movie? Maybe it might have been the two. It might have been the two of them came in at the same time.
Yeah.
But I remember meeting Ryan Reynolds. Cause I had to go downstairs to like the lobby and bring them upstairs, which was pretty cool. But mate, they're all flogs. Honestly, all the Hollywood people, they're all flogs. They think they're super important. Rock stars are the worst breed. I'd be, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Like,
rock stars come in.
They're always on the come down when they.
They're always on the come down, and it's, especially if they're coming in breakfast radio, they're like, ugh, they got give you nothing. Yeah, they're cooked. Yeah. Like, there's no point interviewing a rock star until after like 2 p.m.
Yeah,
like, and you get some good ones came through Triple M, but like I'm so bad with rock music, I couldn't even name. So they come in, and I wouldn't even know who they are. yeah,
it's probably better.
It's better. Yeah, it's way better. Comedians are interesting though, because they they don't suit teams at all, because everything they've done pretty much has been off their own back. And this is obviously generalizing, but this is just the comedians that I've seen come through Triple M. Everything they've done is off their own back. So as soon as they're placed in a team environment, an on-air team environment, they don't suit it, because they're always just thinking about what they're going to say and their punchline and how they're going to get to this joke. And it just doesn't make for good radio, and it doesn't make for a good personality, because they've done it all off their own back. They sort of have this view of themselves that they can do it. Like are a great comedic mind, and everyone should listen to what they say. And it doesn't suit team environments, and they end up becoming more diva-y, like more of a diva than any other type of performer, which is interesting. Like, you think comedians are like, oh, funny larrikins, like they're going to be great. But no, it's like the opposite.
Wow, there you go. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Mate, then obviously, I guess a few years of that, you're still at Triple M now.
Still at Triple M, yeah.
But you and Jimmy and a third person, I believe, started the buy round?
Yes, Anthony. So the three of us, so me, Jimmy and Anthony. And Anthony's like all the content side, so it looks after like all the video, audio, everything, like all content basically, making sure that all looks slick and, you know, gets posted everywhere.
Is he from Triple M as well?
He's from Triple M as well. Yeah, it's how we all started, because me and him basically worked together for years on the Rush Hour, so MG show, and all Triple M NRL. So we worked together for like 5 years doing all that before we started the buy round, or even longer, probably like 6 years before we started the buy round. And then, so it was three of us started it, kind of started. Jimmy was like, oh, I want to start a podcast. And I was like, oh, mate, you should. You totally should. Like, you know, go for it. And he's like, mate, I've got no idea how to. Could you help me? And I was like, yeah, of course I'll help you. And then I sort of started as nothing. I was like, oh, yeah, we'll help Jimmy do this thing. Me and Anthony, we'll help him do his thing. Probably won't, nothing will come of it. Yeah, we'll do a few episodes, see how it goes. But then we did the first episode, and he'd lined up Sam Burgess, And mates, the first episode got like 20,000 downloads, like 30,000 views on YouTube, like just insane numbers. And we're like, oh, geez, there might be something
here. Was there any promotion behind it? Or
nah,
just that's
just
crazy.
Posted it, mate. We just posted it. Like it's incredible. Like I created the feed, posted the podcast. All right, we'll see what happens. We posted a couple of social media clips. That was all the promotion. And it just like exploded. And then we did for about probably 6 months, we just did interviews. So yep. We did interviews once a week. And then a sponsor came to us and they said, oh, we'd love to partner up more with you guys, but it would suit us better if it was a preview show.
Yep.
And we were like, yeah, sweet. So we added a preview show and it was just me and Jimmy talking shit.
And at that point, is that when you first came on?
Yeah. Yeah, that was when I first came on. And at that point, I'd never done any on air stuff except for like going in on segments and talking as a producer. Just like that was the level I've done. I hadn't done anything more than that. And then we started doing that. We did that for it would have been during the World Cup in England, I reckon. So when was that? 2023.
Yeah.
2023. Yeah. So we did that during that. And then after it started 2024, we got like a good sponsorship deal with Ladbrokes. That was enough.
It's gone so quick. Then.
So quick, man. I know. So it's honestly, it's crazy.
It's blown up overnight.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy how fast it's gone. Like, yeah. And then, so we got a really good sponsorship deal with Ladbrokes. And then we said, you know what, we can, we can really make something of it. So we got Brandon Smith in. He came in full time, got the studio. Like the first studio we were in, this is way better. Like this is obviously miles ahead of where we're at. Yeah. We were in this little box in Paddington, which had like a flooded alleyway at the back, stunk like shit all the time. There was like mold coming into the room. No. It's like we found like the cheapest.
Weren't you using Hello Sport?
We did. So sorry, we did. We started when we first started, but after we got the Ladbrokes deal,
you got your new
we got our own thing. Yeah. So, we're in actually Hello Sport and Bloke in a bit, and that was great. Like the Hello Sport looked after us so well, and so did Bloke. Like, and that's kind of what they do. Like Bloke, I heard Maddie the Water Boy was on a podcast.
I was listening.
Other day with the Plain Simple Boys who do that show here, and how much like they just let people use the studio and stuff, and they were so good to us, like so good to us. And
you've passed that on now.
Yeah, exactly. Now. Yeah, 100%. Like, and we don't charge anyone to use the studio. It's like just come use it if you want to. Because it makes a big difference. And like you want to be able to, the biggest thing when starting a podcast is like getting the audio right, getting the vision right, like getting it look good, sound good, and then consistent content. They're like the three biggest things of a podcast. And so to let someone use it makes like a huge, huge difference to the.
Well, it wouldn't have. Like the boys are really super generous. Let me like use the other studio that I use as well.
Yeah.
That we use. But yeah, like I wouldn't have a clue about any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, so it's a good way of just getting in. And then once you get in there, you kind of realize it's not that complicated, the setup. Like, so the setup we're running here is very similar to the setup like the Hello Sport Boys run and Bloke in a Bar run.
Yeah.
And we basically saw how they did it and just recreated it in a different space. But yeah, Tom's always been amazing. Like when we first started, I was calling Tom like constantly because I had a good relationship with him working at Triple M together.
Yeah.
And he was heaps helpful. Like basically he taught me in the first place like everything about producing because he was the guy who I was filling in for. So yeah, I did a few weeks with him to learning about it all and stuff. But yeah, learned so much from him. And then Byron. So Byron, we got a good deal with Ladbrokes. We're able to get our own space and then it's kind of grown from there. And we just kind of, but the thing is we're always trying to sort of like adapt and do new shows, do different content. Because we've interviewed like 130 different NRL personalities now. And so you kind of like, how many more people can we interview? So we've now sort of changed our Sunday show and we're trying to do like more like evergreen content. We're doing like drafts, fan round tables.
Yeah.
We did a little mini thing with Chamis where it was like the 10 biggest stories of the decade.
That was awesome. I love that.
And people loved it. And it's like, so you gotta keep adapting. You can't just keep relying on what you're doing. It's like, people are going to like it. People are going to keep listening. So we're trying to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
Probably look to bring in some different talent next year as well. Just keep things fresh. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. And then we had a little cracker at producing other shows as well, but because we've got so much stuff going on, it's at the moment, it's not the right time to do it, but we're looking at what it looks like if we bring people in full time and then their job is to produce the extra shows and try and sell these extra shows.
Yeah.
Because the hardest thing, like, podcasters deal with, and you just like, we've gotten really lucky because a lot of we had a lot of good relationships just from working in the industry with different clients and brands and stuff So we're in a really good position. But most podcasts, like the hardest thing at the start, obviously getting the audience. But then once you got the audience, how do you make money out of it?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get sponsors to come aboard? Because
don't ask me.
Yeah. Because, mate, the thing that shits me the most is when someone's listening to a podcast and they go, oh, too many ads. So, all right, well, that's the only reason it exists is because of the ads. Like, yeah. I don't think people understand that, like, you listening to a podcast does not mean any revenue is given to the podcaster. Spotify's not paying out podcasters, you know, here's $2,000 a week because you've got 200,000 listens. Mm. No, it doesn't happen. It's only because of the sponsors you sell off your own back. So that's the hardest thing. So, and because we've got those contacts, I do think there's an opportunity for us to help some podcasters do it. But they got it, like, we did it with the Rugby League Journeyman and we connected them with Ladbrokes and helped them get a deal for that. But then just became, the workload was just too much.
Yep.
So that's where we want to bring people in so then we can actually service that properly.
Unreal.
So that might be the next step for the bar and how it grows and stuff. But, you know.
Yeah, cool. It's, that, mate, was one of my next questions. So
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. So, mate, it's been an awesome journey. And, like, you've seen the studio here. So we probably got room for, like, another studio in the corner there.
Yeah.
So we're going to put, like, maybe, like, a two-seater.
Yeah.
Or even, like, a two chairs, something like that with, like, a round table. So then you can, like, people can come in there and maybe rent it out as well. Like, we might look at doing that down the track.
Yeah.
Like, not Rugby League podcast, but, like,
just random
random people. Yeah. And then try and make it. Because, like, if you came and rented this out, you can't really rent this out. It's, like, very obvious. Yeah. Like a locker room set. Like, it's a sports set. Like, it's like a Rugby League sport. Like, you might be able to make it a bit of theater dressing or something like that, make it, you know, entertainment podcast. But really, it's a sports set. So we're thinking of building, like, a more generic studio and renting that out.
Yeah.
But mate, it's been an awesome journey. It's completely changed my life. Like, the Byron's completely changed my life. Like, even,
well, I heard Jimmy giving you a bit of stick the other day about how your previous trips to Europe were backpacking and this on the Byron must be playing pretty well. You're staying in some nice places.
Staying in some nicer places. Yeah, it has changed my life, and it's been awesome. Been awesome. And you know, it's changed my life. Like, cause basically, and also not just from, like, financial, but, like, it's given me a lot more opportunities as well, like on air and stuff. So I wasn't doing anything on air at Triple M. And then now this year coming, I'm now going to be hosting all of their podcasts and stuff as well.
Oh, wow.
So that's, like, all that stuff's kind of come out from the buy around. So that's been really good. And
it's a big thing, right? The more you do, the more opportunities that sort of come up.
Mate, 100%. 100%. And I'm never been a good person, like, oh yeah, hey, I want to do this. This is, like, I've always been a bit more like, just try and hope things happen and you can do the work and then things will happen rather than, like, try and angle for things. And you do have to do that though.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually probably like something I'm not very good at, which if I sort of push for things, I could probably get more opportunities, but, like, it's not my personality.
Okay.
I just find it a bit uncomfortable, like, putting my hand and be like, oh yeah, I want to do this. I'd rather, like, it just sort of organically happen.
It's interesting for someone, like, pretty outgoing person, like, to hear that.
Yeah.
But I think I'm probably not really the same. If I think I can do something, I'll have a crack and try and put my hand up for it. But yeah, it's interesting. There's different personality types of different
I'm like an extroverted introvert. Like,
yeah.
I'm probably naturally shy.
Okay.
I'd say. Yeah. But then if I'm around people I feel really comfortable with, I'm like, could be the loudest person.
You know
what I mean?
Love it. Well, I reckon you must feel pretty comfortable around me because we've been down pretty quickly here. I guess that's awesome. Like, off the back of the buy round, is there any sort of, who's been your favorite guest you've had through?
It's a really good question. A few, like, stand out. Like, it was interesting. Like, and then this is probably not a favorite guest, but Matt Lodge was really interesting to come have in here, and it was first time he told his version of events. That was really interesting. The guest that means the most to me is probably Todd Carney.
Yep.
Because at that point, you go and have a look at the picture of the first episode we did with him.
I saw it. He looks like a different person.
He looks a different person. He's about 30 kilos more overweight. Yep. He was just coming off the back of, like, stopping drinking and all that. And he wasn't necessarily in a good place. Now you look at him, he's in an amazing place. Like, he's got this job at the Titans. He's working at Triple M. He's doing all these things. And he came in and did the show and he was brilliant. Like, I found it was the most interesting chat ever. I think he's probably the harshest done, like, the athlete that was the harshest
done. Him and Piercy.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, mate, you pissed in his own mouth. Like, and you're going to sack him for that.
Yeah.
And you know, I think Ezra Mann,
yeah, I was like,
nearly kills a family and then is allowed to play. And it's just insane that Todd Carney. Yeah,
it's the same with Piercy, though. In a private residence.
Yeah.
Yes, it was afters and whatever. But at a private residence, had the dog. I don't condone it. It's not great. It's an embarrassing moment for him. Yeah. He admits that. But it was 130 grand or something in like 12 weeks.
I know.
Like, I don't care if you're on $1 million or if you're on 100 grand. 130 grand is still 130 grand.
A lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's crazy, especially for rugby league players who, like, you know, he's on $1 million, but like.
You got 10 years.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge fine.
Hmm.
And Todd, like, openly says that the Byron interview changed his life.
Oh,
because after he did that interview, a lot of people reached out to him. A lot of opportunities sort of started to come from that. Obviously, after doing that, I sort of realized how good a speaker he was. So I got him involved in Triple M and doing footy calls and stuff like that. You know, so that is the guest that means the most because it actually had like a huge impact on his life. And that's it kind of made us realize like, oh, this actually can make a really big difference to people. When if something like that would happen to Todd Carney, it sort of made everything feel a lot deeper than it was. Like on the first day, oh yeah, just podcast, you know, chat, good chat. Like, but then when that changed his life and now look at where he is now, like that's pretty powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Love that. That's crap.
Yeah.
Sick. Cool. Then I guess on the back of that, who's your dream guest?
Mate, I'd love to get so Jimmy is a huge Carl Pilkington, Ricky Gervais fan.
Yeah, okay.
So when I was in London, I saw Ricky Gervais do stand-up lives. They're hilarious. Like if we could get Jimmy sitting down with Ricky Gervais, that would be the best thing ever.
I think
Jimmy would just like combust. I don't know if he'd be able to do it. He'd be shaking the whole time, but that would be the best. He'd be the best guest to have on. Would it happen? No. Who's a realistic guest? I'd love to get Vilani's in here. I think Vilani's would be good to chat to.
Yeah, wow.
Super interesting guy, obviously, and doing so much for the game and good ideas. And it'd be good to like pick his brain in a podcast environment. We've never had him on.
Yeah. Has he done any before?
He's done a couple. He did Hello Sport a few years back.
Did he?
Yeah, he did Hello Sport a few years back. But no, he doesn't do a lot. He does a lot of like the mainstream media.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, he'd be one that'd be good to get.
Yeah, see.
What about you? Have you got a dream guest?
Achievable, I'll say Ivan Cleary.
Yeah.
Definitely
achievable. Yeah. He'd be super interesting to hear. Yeah,
I think probably not achievable would be Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Johnny Football.
Have you seen the doco on Netflix?
It's the best.
Untold? Yeah, so good, mate.
So good.
I love characters like that.
Yeah.
Like flawed characters are like my favorite athletes, my favorite like... So I was watching the Dallas Cowboys documentary and Jerry Jones said flawed characters are his favorite role models.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great line. And I think I prefer people who go through the ups and downs and you know, make mistakes because it's more human.
Well, like, mate, he's lived the top of the top stereotypical college lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like he was a proper rock star not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Like the NCAA and different things were making, like Texas A&M were making squillions off him.
Yeah.
Literally off a number two 100%, jersey.
Yeah.
And he was like over the table making nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's probably why the laws have like, they changed it now. Like a lot of it would be because Johnny Manziel was so 100%. Ripped off. And then his career didn't quite, I was so excited. Like, I'm not an NFL guy.
Yeah.
But Johnny Manziel like piqued my interest because he had this swagger.
The Cowboys needed to take him.
Yeah, I know.
Such a sliding doors moment if they took him in that draft and he stayed in Texas, like I just think it's a completely different story.
100%. He goes to the Browns, organization.
Yeah, didn't want to be there. Yeah. He was talking about he was just going bendering and whatever and apparently still loves it. So my absolute hero.
Well, yeah, he looks like he did because I like a lot of that golf YouTube stuff.
Mm.
And he's like, I watched Bob does, you know, Bob does sports.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched them do stuff with Johnny Manziel and you can tell he's like, he seems sounds hungover. He's talking about being at Drake's party and like he's smoking cigars. Like he might be vaguely stoned during that round. Yeah. So like he still loves it. Yeah.
Love it. But yeah, that would be a cool thing too because he's a gun golfer as well. So I love my golf. So
yeah, nice.
Be awesome to yarn about that. Mate, with like this and obviously you're still managing, you're still working at Triple M and you've obviously, you explained you've sort of taken a bit more of a senior role. How do you manage your time and how do you manage like not burning yourself out?
Yeah, it's I probably not that well at times, like not that well. So I still probably drink way too much as well. I probably still drink way too much. So I'll like that's, and that doesn't help with like, so some, because during the footy season, my days are pretty busy, and because it's like bouncing around doing Triple M Bar, and you're there for a few hours and you're here for a few hours and you kind of scramble. Like, my calendar's become really important to me, which is like so lame.
Yeah.
But like, I have to like put stuff in my calendar. Otherwise, I forget about it because I've just got too much going on. But then, yeah, sometimes I find like I'll be absolute scrambled during the week trying to like figure out where to go. And I probably was managing it really poorly and focusing too much on work. And then it almost like ended my relationship that where it's like I was just so busy, like not thinking about relationship at all, just like more focusing on work and everything. But then it's been this hectic for a few years now. I've gotten on top of it a bit more, and like I can know like how to manage it. And I know like you got to say no to certain things. You can't just say yes to everything, because you're just gonna and burn yourself out. And then it's probably more something I need to work on for this year coming. It's not 3 years, but because I'll have a really busy work schedule, and then I'll get to Friday, and then you want to have that release
100%,
and then so you have that release, and then super hungover Saturday, and then I work weekend, so then I'm going to work Sundays hungover, working hungover. So part of that's good because you can push through it,
yeah.
But it also it affects you, and it makes you more stressed. So so in other words, I'm basically not handling it very well at times.
Yeah, okay.
But mate, it's not that bad. And then you get this time of the year, which is
pretty chill.
I've just been in Europe for a month, like. And now I'm doing a couple podcasts a week. Like,
and obviously the relationship is better because you're now engaged.
Congratulations, I'm now engaged. Mate. Yeah, exactly. So, there's betrothed now, mate. So that's all downhill from here.
No, it's up. It's all actually uphill is not probably the right word.
Uphill,
but
yeah, uphill
it's all,
sounds hard.
It's all positive,
it's all
right?
Positive.
It's all
yeah.
positive.
It's all sunshine.
I tell my fiance too. Yeah, it's all positive now.
Have you got a wedding date in mind?
Yeah, no? We're booked. 22nd of August.
22nd next of August. Year. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
See, we're both. What's it called when you're not type A? Is it type B? What's the personality where you you're like not very organized? Is that type B?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. But yeah, we're both not very organized.
Yeah, okay.
So then we'll probably end up getting married in like 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if type A's are super organized, that's my partner.
Perfect.
That's Kate. And go with the flow.
Yeah, go with the flow. Yeah, well then she can organize it. Yeah. That's perfect.
Well, she has already.
So that's why I'm hoping because Siobhan's not working at the moment, so I'm hoping that she can sort of take the heavy lifting and organize it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Love it. You're just the sugar daddy.
It's a sugar daddy moment. Yeah. Just keeping the lights on.
How good. Mate, with like, what do you think success looks like for you going forward now?
Yeah. I reckon what it has is changed a lot for me in the last like 12 months or so, because at the start of this year, well, I wasn't really doing much on air for Triple M, and now starting to do more stuff. So I think I want to pursue that area a lot more.
Okay.
And doing more hosting of shows and podcasts and stuff. And I did a little bit of sideline commentary for Triple M this year.
Did you?
I did a few games of that.
How good's
that? On the sideline doing that
you
stuff.
Know, you know what as well? And this is just from afar. Like, obviously I'm a consumer of the Byron content, but kind of even noticed midway through last year, what's the word? Probably not cheeky, but like, You just were way more confident, I reckon, on the camera. On the mic. A few, I don't know, just probably more ready to have an opinion.
Yeah.
More like a bit more outgoing and different things. And it was, I actually genuinely noticed it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, not, that's just like probably happened organically. I haven't even realized it. Because sometimes you get sucked into you just having a chat.
Yeah.
And like, I think because I'm maybe getting more comfortable on like the microphone talking.
You're probably confident in here.
Yeah. And also you forget. You're necessarily podcasting, just like you're talking to Jimmy and me, like good mates. So it's like, oh, then you'll say something, but then I won't even realize I've said anything. I leave here not thinking about anything, and then the podcast gets posted, and there'll be like 1,000 comments hammering me, and I'm like, oh fuck, what did I even say?
Did they hammer you much in there?
Oh, heaps, mate. I get bagged all the time, but who cares?
Yeah, yeah,
fucking bag me if you want. I couldn't care less.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you want to bag me, like bag me. It's also fair enough.
Engagement.
Like, if I've said something opinionated, you should be able to bag me, because I've said something that's opinionated. Like, who am I to say anything that's opinionated?
Yeah.
But also, it probably means I've said something that's like semi controversialist. So you, if you do disagree with it, you're entitled to hammer me.
Have you got any examples of something you said that people hammered you on?
Oh, what did I say? I mean, I said something, I said like just for the most recent podcast, I kind of got the memory of a goldfish. I sort of forget everything I said, but I said on the most recent one we've just done that the NRL should chuck in $1 million to keep Payne Haas. So outside of the salary cap, they should chuck in $1 million to keep him. And everyone basically hammered me for that because the salary cap rule, then every other player is going to come out and say they want this. And I actually stand by what I said because Payne-Haas is a different beast.
Yeah.
You know, if no offense, Jacob Preston, Winston Neville will have conniptions about me saying this. If Jacob Preston comes out and says, oh, no, I'm going to R360. Sweet, go, bro. Yeah. Go, it doesn't matter. But Payne-Haas is the best front row in the game by a fair way as well. Yep. The gap from him to second is massive. Like, he's, the, in my opinion, the one of the most influential players in the game, and I think a lot of people would agree. He's the kind of guy you would do this for.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Cleary, you would do this for. We're not talking about mid-tier guys. We know when a player comes up, and he's like, even if Kalen Ponga came up and said, I'm going to go R360, I think everyone would say, yeah, go, mate, that's fine.
Mm.
But like Payne-Haas is the kind of player that you should try and keep, and there's enough money there in the game where you could do something like that. So should we do it? In my opinion, we should.
Well, I think it's almost just the balls in the NRL's court. Like the amount of profit, I don't know the exact numbers, so don't quote me on it, but the amount of profit the game's made the last few years, like just put the salary cap up. Like,
yeah, I know. There's so much money there.
Yeah.
There is so much money in the game. So like to keep someone like Payne-Haas, I think he's going to go anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's just too hard for him to compete because it's a $2 million US offer.
It's crazy.
He can base himself in a tax haven. So really that's, you know, that's like a $6 million salary here basically. So yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. And then I think other things, like I think I said, Adam O'Brien should be sacked this year or something along those lines. Like, it's time for nice to move on.
I remember there was a few giving it to the Dogs, which was hilarious.
Dogs, yeah. Jimmy and I had a big back and forth over Lachie Galvin. Yeah, part of that was me just like, oh, let's wind Jimmy up here. Because, like, mate, to be fair, like, everything I said, kind of true.
Totally agreed kind with everything you said, mate.
Kind of true. So, like, I stand by that. Like, everything I say, I stand by. But, yeah, like Adam O'Brien did get sacked as well. He did.
Yep.
Like Lachie Galvin probably wasn't the best buy for the Dogs at the time.
No.
I don't get why they couldn't just buy him and keep him in reserve grade though. I still don't understand why that was such a blasphemous thing to say.
Yeah. I also don't understand why they couldn't just bring him in this year.
Yeah.
Like he wanted out. Like, mate, you've signed a contract.
Yeah, exactly. Tigers would have been happy to keep him. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they wouldn't have been.
Wouldn't have made a difference anyway.
No, exactly.
They were overachieved as it was.
Yeah, 100%.
You
know what? I do try and not be too opinionated though as well.
Yeah.
Because like, who cares?
Yeah, I know.
Who cares what I say? You know what I mean? But like, it just comes out.
Well, that's where, when I first started doing this, like, so I'm good mates with Justin Horro, play golf.
Yeah. He's a legend, Justin Horro as well. Yeah.
So he was doing a similar thing where it wasn't the same as what you guys did with a fan round table, but it was like fan bunker. So essentially we were asking questions to like Laurie Daly, Will Mason.
Yeah, I saw all the stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, and Josh Reynolds, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he was like, mate, he rang me, mate, I've got an opportunity. Do you want to do it? And I was like, oh, not really. Like, no one wants to listen to me talk about rugby league. And he's like, mate, you chew my ear off about shit every weekend. Like, come do it. Yeah. I was like, all right, I'll do it. So in my head, it was the same as you, like, no one wants to listen to me talk about rugby league, which they still don't. I still stand by that. But so did that, did a couple of things with a few guys that I met off the back of it, like Hectic Fred and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, I had a few people going like, you should have a crack at doing something. And I was like, well, what's my point of difference? And I didn't really have one. I was like, played reasonable level of sport in a few different sports, but like, what is my point of difference? But I've worked in the sporting goods industry my whole life. So I was kind of like, all right, well, I'm interested in mindset. The lessons I'm learning about business, essentially stuff I learned in junior sport. So it's funny how you can tie things back, and that's kind of what brought this upon. But I'm still very cautious about what I say in terms
of 100%. I try not to be too opinionated. But then it's also like, if it's just me and Jimmy doing a podcast, it's just the two of us, like it's probably more entertaining and more – like, even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, like, oh, fuck, who cares what Charlie says?
Yeah.
It's probably, I'm just presenting the other side as well of what Jimmy thinks. So it's just like the other side. So some people listening might think that. But I do need to try to be less opinionated.
That's so good. The only thing I sort of draw a line on is I'm like, I'm not going to bag a player on camera.
Yeah.
That's like, who am I to?
Yeah. And I don't think I've done that. I think I've more, maybe, to be fair, maybe I said the Dylan Brown contract was a, could be.
See, I've from ball one disagreed with this. I reckon it's a good deal.
Well, mate, it's looking like a good deal now.
Well, I'm looking like a genius now. My thought process was defense is first things first. Defense is 50% of the game.
Yeah.
He's probably the best defensive half in the comp. Up, he's up there. Top three or four.
Yeah.
Secondly, the Knights, if they were to, one, keep KP, and two, move the needle forward, because they're one of the worst squads in the comp at the moment. They can't make one wooden spoon. Needed to make a splash.
Yeah.
They needed to make a move. Thirdly, it's a 10-year deal. I know there's ratchet clauses that it can go up to 1.4, but in 10 years' time, Isaiah Katoa is going to be on 2.2.
Yeah.
So if Dylan Brown turns into the half they are buying him to be, it's actually going to be an all right deal in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Maybe for the next 3-4 years, it might be overpaid.
Yeah.
But if the salary cap goes to 20 million, like R360 is going to make
mate, it's true. Like, it probably is going to turn into a good deal now.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say, though, is can he recreate what he was doing with New Zealand at the Knights? Because their pack is probably going to be one of the worst in the comp.
Yep.
Once you put it up against everyone else, they're going to have one of the worst packs in the comp. And you can tell when things are rolling, he's the perfect half because he's just got such a good running game and, you know, and he's got great, he's just a smart footy player as well. He's got great, you know, ad-lib abilities and I hope it goes well, but I worry that it won't go well and it won't actually be his fault.
Yeah.
It will be the fault of the fact that he is coming off the back of a pack that's doing nothing. Like, that's going to be the reality.
Agree.
But in 1.3 might not be that much. And I don't think there is ratchet clauses. I think it's just a flat 1.3. So in 10 years' time, mate, he could be like...
Underpaid.
Yeah, significantly underpaid. Yeah.
So that's what I mean.
I could be wrong about that, but I think there's no ratchet clauses in it.
Yeah, okay. Well, even if there is, I know I don't think he can go higher than 1.4.
Yeah, so, okay.
That was what the rumour was.
Yeah, cool.
But,
yeah,
nice. But you had Chris Orr in.
We did, yeah,
that's cool. So he did. I don't know if he went to school, but Gavin, his brother, who he works with... him and my old man actually grew up playing footy together because they're from Dubbo.
Oh, sick. Yeah, nice.
They're from Dubbo. So, yeah, I've known Gav a long time.
Yeah.
So that was cool listening to that interview. And I think you mentioned that was one of your favorites.
Yeah,
I love it,
mate, because I love the I love the business side of everything. So, like, for me, agents, like, I love it. Like,
me too.
Jerry Maguire is one of my favorite movies. Yeah. Like, in another
life. Have you thought about going down that angle?
Yeah, I have. Who hasn't thought about
that? Yeah, I know.
You know, especially then when I started doing all the sponsorship deals for the bar, and I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I could do this. Like, and then also doing all the talent deals at Triple M. So, that's one of my roles there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sort of do maybe less of that as the years go on. To step back from that sort of stuff, but I do a lot of the talent deals, so sign guys, bring guys in, bring new talent in. But doing all those deals, like, it's pretty fun as well. Like, when you get stuff sorted, like, it's pretty exciting. So yeah, I've thought about it. I just I don't know. You can't do everything, can you?
No.
You got to pick something. You got to pick a lane, sort of stick to it. And if I, like, at the moment, it's not something I'd be interested in doing at the moment.
Yeah. Okay.
But maybe down the track, like, for sure, because I love the business side of sport. Like. Yeah. But yeah, I love all that stuff.
Might be running the NRL one day.
Yeah, Michael Chammas, mate. I'll just follow Michael Chammas, head of football. That. Like, that's like GM.
Is that happening?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen. I doubt it. I think he's pretty happy at Channel 9.
Yeah. I don't think they can afford to. I heard a little whisper that, for a pretty good source, actually, I won't say who it was, but that a rival threw the kitchen sink at him a couple of years ago financially, and he walked into... Sydney Morning Herald and basically said, this is what I've been offered. And they went, yep, sweet. And he walked out that day with a new contract.
Yeah, right. Yeah, wow. So, yeah. Well, mate, he's the best journalist in the game, in my opinion now. Like, he's breaking the most stories, but also he, like, articulates himself really well. It's probably, like, I hope none of the other journalists hear this, but but I think he's the best. I think he's the best. You know, we're hopefully doing some stuff with him at the Byron next year as well.
Awesome.
So that'd be cool. But mate, he Perth Bears tried to get him as well. And yeah, I can say this story because Andrew Webster's broken it in the story. But we did we did the Perth Bears roster. So we as a podcast, me, Chammy and Jimmy basically sat in here as if we were in a boardroom and filled out the 30-man roster with realistic salaries adhering to the salary cap. And Chammas came in with like 50 pages of paper and notes and stuff. And I was like, wow.
Were you off the dome?
Done a lot of prep. He's done a lot of prep. I was like, I'd done a little bit of research. I had like top 5 available players in each position. And then I'm like, all right, he's got to done a lot of research. So then when he'd done that much research, like, I kind of came and I was like, all right, yeah, we'll sort of lean on him. And then after the podcast, I was like, mate, you've done some research. Geez, 50 pages. What's that? Like, that's good on you. Like, well done. And he's like, yeah, well, I was nearly going to be the Perth Bears GM, so that's why I've got all this research. So Perth Bears, he'd had a conversation with Perth Bears to become their, like, general manager. So he nearly did that. So I think that does interest him a little bit, the game side of it, because I know he loves all that business side of things as well. But I think at the moment he's happy doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
like he gets paid probably really well.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, he's found it, like he's found his niche, and he's just breaking stories and doing such a good job of it. So I think for now he's staying in media.
I think everyone loves him too, and he's not he's not a journo that's gonna like, he's not clickbaity. He's not gonna throw someone under a bus. He kind of, if a story's fair, he'll say it fair.
Yeah.
And yes, it may like upset a certain person, but if is the story fair? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Is. Exactly. And that's their job at the end of the day. And you can't begrudge them for it. Like, exactly. Everyone's got to do their job for what it is. Like,
well, the whole thing about it, like the reason they get paid so much coin is a byproduct of the media.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So. And like the media, the rugby league media is a circus and it's a circus that like is actually helps ratings. Like it is like, what do they call it? Soap opera for
it's like you need clubs like the Bulldogs just to be a meme.
100%. The Tigers, the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. Like, everyone.
What about they got the buy again?
Oh, I know. round one, it's so annoying. As a fan, round one buy is like an absolute killer. Pits. You got to wait 5-6 months if you're a Tigers fan every year anyway, because you don't play finals.
Yeah.
The Lockie Galvin story, like that. I got so sick of talking about Lockie Galvin, and it eventually got overdone. It just got overdone. But at the start, it was like the highest rating stuff that we've like ever done. Like everything we posted about it would get like 25,000 listens on the podcast. Like it was just like huge people. There was so much engagement for it. That's why like the game needs to lean into drama. Like, because Andrew Johns at the time spoke about like what a circus the player movement thing is, and it's not good. But it is good. Mm. It's more people watching the shows. More people are engaging with it. More people want to find out what's happening. So like the drama around the game is really important. And because if we didn't have that, like you look at like I work on cricket as well. There's no like drama.
No,
it's the journos for cricket. They sit there with their shoes off in the press box, eating nice lunches and writing like happy articles about all the thing. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily, like cricket's lucky because it's just zoomed in on, it's like the only sport in the summer, but like it could get even bigger and bigger if there was like drama around the game. Like I think like everyone wants what the AFL has, the trade window for NRL, but I think the system we have is way better. Think about how many great stories we got mid-season. We had Dylan Brown, we had Cheese, we had DCE, we had Lockie Galvin. There's more of like those big player movements, things that have happened. Whereas AFL gets that 4-week period after the season. We get it all year round.
Yeah.
And it helps give the shows things to talk about, and it helps ratings. And, you know, the only downside of it is for fans when their player signs for another club and they have to watch them play with them for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I think fans are used to that by now as well for their club. Like, I know I am. Like, when a player leaves the Roosters, doesn't happen very often unless they're pushed out.
Yeah.
But, I love the setup we've got. And I think it actually helps the game. Like, AFL, they go through so many lulls of what are we going to talk about in the show today? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy's going to the judiciary. We don't even care about judiciary stories anymore. No. There's so much other more interesting stuff going on.
I know. It's interesting. It's funny. Like, that just jogged my memory. Remember a few years ago, Ryan Madison got...
Three game suspension
or a 2 grand fine. He was on the hook, 600 grand or something.
Yeah,
and he took the 3 games.
crazy. Missed the first like 2 games of the season as well. Like it was insane. Jimmy, that was one of the most fired up Jimmy's been. I was like, mate, did you see Ryan Madison? I called him. I was like, oh, did you see what Ryan Madison was about to do? Pocket's like, what? And like, could not believe it.
Because that makes you always see the fines come through, but like, I wonder, are they suspended fines? Like, do they even pay them?
Yeah, I think it can change club to club.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because that's why I asked Jimmy. I was like, do you pay your fines? And he's like, it just depends. Like, sometimes the club will pay it for you. Sometimes they won't. Like, and it probably, yeah.
It was probably just a standoff. The club didn't want to pay it.
But. Yeah. But, mate, if you're Ryan Madison, you got to fucking pay the fine.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Without a doubt.
And that was the start of his downfall a bit in the NRL.
Mm.
Like, you look after that, he's not really done much since on the field, and then he's sort of been trying to push out the Eels, send him to England, and they're trying to get rid of him as we speak. Like, I don't know when this podcast comes out, but he, you know, who knows? He could be gone in the next couple of weeks out of Parramatta as well.
Yeah, this will be Sunday, but yeah.
Yeah, right, we're probably not done by then.
Yeah. mate, cool. With I guess the buy round, like what do you see? I know you did like that race, the Burt Journo race, different things like that. Yeah. Is there much evolution around like, are you going to do vlogs? Is it going to be like live streams, things like that sort of going forward?
So I love like Barstool Sport. Mm. And like one thing they've got going on at the moment is like the Content Creator Classic golf, like, which is a golf tournament.
Yeah, so good.
So it's kind of like what the media sprint's kind of like a spin-off. What was that?
Count me in if you
play that. Yeah, 100%, mate, 100%. But the media sprint was basically like kind of that was the most random thing ever that came up. I literally just said it on the podcast as a like just GNR. And then like it actually became a thing. Like, and I called, so after it, like I've got a bit of ADD, but I can get super focused on something and then like get really focused on it. And the media sprint, like actually, like I said it and I was like, oh, it's actually a good idea. Mm. Just piqued my interest and got really into it. So then I sorted it all out in a couple of days, just like rang heaps of people, rang Core Stadium and got it all locked in. And I was like, oh, we can do it then. But like it's kind of a spin-off of like those Barstool Sports content creator competitions. So I do want to do more of that. Like, and have the journos compete in other things as well. So, like, we worked with this guy called Sam Rigney on that. He's like Center House Media. And I think I want to do like one of those sort of once a month, do like a different out of studio competition style video. And, you know, we didn't make any money out of the media sprint. We lost money out of it because of the production cost that it cost to do. But you can get those sort of things sponsored. And we were just trying to like build it. Like the last minute we got offered a sponsorship for it and I said no to it because they wanted the race to be called the brand's name.
Okay.
And it was so close to the finish line, already sort of in my head, we were parting with that money anyway. It was a lot, it was a loss. So I was like, nah, we don't want to change the name just because this company wants it. But I reckon they're very sponsorable, those things as well. You saw the engagement. It was like got 60,000 views on YouTube, the video.
That's crazy.
And it had like millions and millions of views on all the different stuff that the Hello Sport guys posted, that we posted. So the power of like that collaboration with all the different podcasts is huge. And like people also love seeing like not athletes compete at sport.
Agree.
Like it's not, doesn't have, that's the thing with sports media. It's like there's a bit of an opportunity now for like just your average Joes competing at sport and filming. It's like there's this cricket page, which is a backyard cricket on Instagram. It's just these guys, they're all right at cricket, but they're not that good. And they're just playing backyard cricket. Millions and millions of people are watching them play backyard cricket. Like, and they would look like so out of place on a playing grade level cricket almost for like in Sydney. Like, but I think there's an opportunity there to keep doing stuff like that. So like now I'm starting to think, oh, do we get the journalists together and have a darts night where they verse each other in darts and we film it and do something like that? Because, man, I tried to get a rugby league darts night off at the start of the year, but basically we needed 500 grand sponsorship to break even.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how expensive some of those live big events are. And I was like, man, there's no way we could get that. That's to break even. I'm like, it's way too much of a risk.
Holy.
So well, I might try and like peel that back and just do a darts night in like a pub with like eight people, no crowd, no like big song and dance, just like film in a pub, like YouTube style.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, that's the kind of more the vibe. So I want to do more of that stuff because it went really well. And also it's a quite fun stuff to work on. Like the point of this is like, we can do whatever we want here because it's ours. So why don't we just do fun, cool shit that, you know,
that
actually interests us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ah, sick. Awesome. Mate, three quick questions.
Yeah.
What if 16-year-old Charlie walked through the door, what are you telling him?
Stop smoking weed. Yeah, stop smoking weed.
Holy.
So that's probably that. What else would I tell him? I'd say, mate, if you do stop smoking weed, good things happen.
Oh, that's so good. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that would be the main thing. Mate, in all honesty, at school I was like such a rat bag. I was, you know, just all I cared about was mates and all stuff, as I said earlier. I was smoking weed like every day, like just an absolute delinquent. So like that's what I would tell him, stop doing that. And then apart from that, just
good, mate, things are coming.
Good things are coming.
Love it. What's your go-to cheat meal?
Good question. Good question. Mate, I don't mind a bit of Macca's. Don't mind a bit of Macca's.
What's your Macca's order?
Macca's order is quarter pounder, large quarter pounder meal. I get a water as a drink to just feel healthy in amongst it.
Yeah, right.
And then I'll get 10 nuggets as well.
Love it.
And that would be like, sweet and sour sauce, of course. Yeah. And that's my that's like my go-to drunk meal as well. Because I live in King's Cross and like there's a Macca's in King's Cross. So every time I come home for a night out, pretty much go there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Sweetheart's Rooftop on the way.
Yeah, maybe. Earlier. Yeah, yep. Maybe. If it, yeah. Normally once I got my Macca's, that's home time.
Yeah, okay.
Walk down the hill with my Macca's. Yeah.
Beautiful. Do you play any golf?
I was playing golf heaps and yep. I was playing it once a week in 2023 and yep. I was loving it, getting really into it. But then work just got too busy.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm trying to get back into it in summer. I'm going to try and play like once a week. But
we'll go over here.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah, because I played it once, this year and I'm terrible. I'm like back to square one.
Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking. I was actually getting like semi all right at it.
It's a brutal sport.
It's a brutal sport, man. I was so flat. To be fair, I hadn't played in 2 years.
Yep.
So I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This summer I might try play like once a week.
And, yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, then my question to that is what's your dream golf foursome? So you and three others, dead or alive, any golf course you want.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go me.
Yeah.
Obviously is one of them. Am I adding just three then?
Yeah. Three.
David Beckham.
Love it.
David Beckham. He was my, one of my sporting heroes growing up. Loved him. Then I'd go Ricky Gervais, super interesting guy. And then, I'd probably go Nikola Jokic. But he's probably a real boring bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't want to get much out of him. So then do I want Michael Jordan?
Oh,
would just be a bit intense. No, do you know what? I'm going to go Nikola Jokic.
Okay.
Like I love him. I love him, what he's done for the Denver Nuggets. So Denver Nuggets going to win the title this year. Yeah, I'll go him. And, you know, he's actually less intimidating than Michael Jordan. Like, taking a golf swing in front of Michael Jordan would be
rattled.
Yeah, be rattled. And then me and Nikola Jokic might bond because the two Englishmen are talking a lot and then, you know, we're just bonding. That's my foursome.
Mate, love it.
Yeah.
Mate, I really appreciate this. Really appreciate you letting us use the studio. And, mate, we'll catch up again soon. Yeah, cheers. Mate. Thanks,
Charlie. Sounds good, mate.